Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. Friedrich Nietzsche, in his essay on truth and lying in an extramoral sense, tells us a sort of genealogical story about the origin of the distinction between truth and lying, or if you like to call it, the invention of truth and the invention as its contrast of lying. All of this is actually going to rest on a kind of bedrock of dissimulation and deception in the long run for Nietzsche, but he is interested in where did this desire for truth stem from, and how did we arrive at the point where we almost automatically associate the true with what is most real, and we see falsehood or lying as secondary, as parasitical upon the truth. So he talks at first about the individual wanting to preserve himself. We're talking about a state of primitive nature, and in this state, the individual will engage in dissimulation because that is what the human intellect has brought to the table. And then he says that at the same time, because man out of necessity and boredom also wants to live socially in the herd, that is, wants to associate with other human beings, wants to be able to live with them, he has to eliminate at least the crudest forms of the war of all against all. And so there has to be some type of what Nietzsche is going to call here a peaceful agreement. And what is this peaceful agreement going to take the form of? It's not a social contract or anything quite so developed as that. As a matter of fact, on a behavioral level, it's not as if there are these very clear norms that everyone is following. Rather, Nietzsche is going to talk first and foremost about language. And so he's going to tell us here that this peaceful agreement is going to lead us towards truth, because what truth will be from now on is fixed. A uniformly valid and binding terminology for things is invented. A terminology calling this thing, this sort of thing, like a shirt, and everybody else calling it a shirt instead of a Google Blop or a Zuba Zuba or whatever. Or if we all want to call this a Zuba Zuba, we all get on the same page with that. And so what this is you could think of it as a shared dividing up of the world by use of language that everybody else sticks to. And he says, the legislation of language also enacts the first laws of truth. Now, why is that? Well, the opposition to truth is going to be lying. And the liar, as Nietzsche says, is not just anybody, any old person who says something that is untrue. It's going to be things that are in some way parasitical and perverting the common language, using it in some sort of inordinate or selfish or even sometimes just creative way, but something that turns to one's own advantage and to the disadvantage or the harm of other people. So the liar is somebody who doesn't just tell a story that isn't, you know, factually true. It's somebody who tells a story and gets something out of it and disadvantages or harms somebody else in the process. So he goes on and he says, the liar uses the valid terms, the words, to make the unreal appear real. So the liar is able to tell lies by using the very shared language, the very truth that we have over here as part of this peaceful agreement, right? The liar is able to use the terminology, and they use that to make the unreal, as Nietzsche says, appear real. For example, this is a great example on Nietzsche's part, I am rich when poor would be the right term. How do you lie in that way? You can just come straight out and use the words, you know, saying I'm rich when you know, you'd expect to see poor. Or you could gussy up your house, or you could dress in a certain way, or you could behave in a certain way and say other things that are drawing, again, on this shared language, this entire conventions that provide a shared meaning across many human consciousnesses. So he says he misuses established conventions by arbitrary substitutions, even reversals of names. Now, what Nietzsche points out is that we don't really have a problem with this as such. As a matter of fact, in the rest of the essay, he's going to talk about how not only is this part of the way truth itself works, but we actually delight in this. Think about how when you're watching a movie, actually, here's a great example. People watch action movies and they lose themselves in these totally far-fetched situations that, even if it says that this is a true story, guaranteed the movie version of it is not true on most levels, right? And you can think of all these conventions that are built into it, like, you know, somebody throws a grenade, you see a big explosion and, you know, fire and people flying through the air. Real grenades don't actually work like that, but that's the sort of set of signs that we use, right? Then you get somebody who says, that's not realistic. They're perfectly fine with everything else going on in the movie, but they see something happening. Like, so he snaps somebody's neck, and they're like, they couldn't snap their neck that way. They're objecting to some sort of lying going on. And they're doing it because they feel harmed in some sort of way. So Nietzsche says that when the person does it in a selfish and damaging manner, society is no longer going to trust him, and it excludes him from its presence as a liar, as a person of the lie. A little bit later, Nietzsche is going to say something else very, very interesting about this. This is a little bit past. Truth is a mobile set of metaphors. He's going to talk about how we, as human beings, end up allowing ourselves to lie collectively in a style that's mandatory for everyone. And he thinks that that's what truth itself ultimately rests on. So it's not as if there's like shining truth over here and then the lie pops up. There's different kinds of dissimulation, and one of them is called truth and one of them is called lie. Now, there, you notice that I've got some other stuff under here as well. Some of the things that are left out of the picture in this peaceful agreement that Nietzsche thinks are important to highlight. Let's look on the side of lying first. Not all deceptions are bad from the perspective of the herd or even of the individual, right? There are pleasant deceptions. Nietzsche talks about dreaming. We put up with all sorts of craziness in our dreams. But I mentioned film, you know. Nietzsche would talk about epic poetry as a prime example of that sort of thing. There's deception going on in that. On the other hand, Nietzsche says we don't value all truth, because damaging and destructive truths, we don't want to hear those. As a matter of fact, we're hostile to those. And quite often, when somebody enunciates them, they are treated as if they are a liar, when that tends to be something rather distinct, right? And so we have this very complex picture being drawn by Nietzsche that has to do with the invention of truth and lying, this fundamental distinction that is being made within human society. Notice that you don't have this prior to human society, according to Nietzsche. You don't have this with an individual on his or her own in the primeval state of nature. This is something that happens through the development of human culture. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.